This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to Enterprise Biz Bytes. My name is Rich Bradbury, and I'm joined in the studio by
Arvind Baraj
and Audrey Raj.
Today's show, we are talking about, given the chance, would you repair your own phone? We're talking about this because of the right to repair, which has been a bit of an agenda that's been pushed out in the US right now. People getting a little bit annoyed with certain companies who glue in your batteries, don't give you spare parts on one thing or another. Mm-hmm. Motorola have come forward and said, look, we want to start changing that and giving you the ability to repair your phone. Apparently, I've been ill-informed, and that there are, in fact, what was the message? So this is from number, I don't even know the number. It says, Richard is ill-informed. There are Apple authorized service centers in KL. I didn't know if they were actually authorized, though. I don't know about that. If you can tell me more information, I'd love to know more about that.
Mm-hmm. That's from Kevin Chan.
Kevin Chan. Thank you, Kevin. Mm-hmm. But I did notice that I have an iPhone 6, and I quickly Googled how much a replacement screen would be if I was to buy one from Lazada. The same stock, I'd imagine, that a lot of these repair centers would do and charge me 600, 700, 800 ringgit. Mm. I can get one for 44 ringgit. It just kind of shows just how much of a markup these places are making. It just seems like an awful lot of money.
So, do you want to repair the phones yourself, or do you want to have like a coverage from the company to give it in for free, or do you want to do what I mentioned before, like what Bose and Dell do, and they charge you like a small premium,
right?
And then depends on, doesn't matter what
the
damage is.
I'd happily do that. You know, if it was like an extra 150 ringgit, 200 ringgit, or whatever it is, for accidental damage and wear and tear, and who wouldn't want to spend a little bit of extra money with that, you know, knowledge that if you anything goes wrong, you get a replacement phone.
Yeah, do phone companies have that? Like, so far, do you know
not
of any
sure.
of the big phone guys? No,
not
no.
sure.
But okay. I wouldn't want that, though, just because how quickly the trends of your phone changes. You
yeah.
know, if I had like something like that, a warranty for 5 years, so that I can get my phone replaced at any point, I'd want the option to upgrade
right.
as well, just because things change so fast.
They do indeed. Let's head over to Twitter then and pick up some messages from there. What have we got, Ords?
Okay, so Muhammad Faiz Hakim says he spent about 600 to 1,000 ringgit over the last year on repairs.
That wow.
is, yeah, ouch. Satya Sudhakaran says service centers charging over prices, not worth repairing your phone unless it's a minor issue. I would also suggest please go to authorized outlets.
Mm.
There's another one by My Seer, who says, I changed the screen of my iPhone 7. It was only 280 ringgit for REM parts, but end up having the touch button inoperable, so he regrets it. And then he also adds that cheap doesn't mean good.
Absolutely,
how
yeah.
true. And then Muizuddin has has a quick get around for this problem. He said he just buys cheap phones because they last for more than 2 years. When software starts to lag, it's time to change to another cheap phone. He rarely uses the camera, so he doesn't need a high-end phone.
I completely 100% agree. That's what I do. Yeah.
Right,
so,
right.
Yeah, yeah. No, I mean, it's true. You go for like, I mean, not cheap phones, but you go for something like, with the basics of what you need, and then you don't have to worry about repairs. Tap on wood.
Tap on wood. Over to Instagram very quickly. Amila World has said, I've spent 500 ringgit on the Note 8 1 month after purchase. The rear camera cracked and the sensor was kaput. I have another one here. It's people spending 850 ringgit on phone repairs. This just seems insane, the amount of money we spend on these phones when something goes wrong, right?
Yeah, if only we could get the parts and then just watch a YouTube video and have the problem go away.
No, but also our phones built to be repaired. That's another thing. They're built so thin because they need to, you know, everyone wants like the smaller, thinner, slimmer phone. So are they even built to be repaired? I think that's why when you open it up and then you change the screens and all that stuff, it hardly works.
There are two things you can't repair, Arvind: a broken heart and the crack of dawn.
How long have we been waiting to
Forever.
Say something like
Forever.
That on air?
Right, on to story number two. Smart marketplaces bridging the implicit and the complex. Tell me more.
Yes, so the marketplace business is intrinsically linked to the technology that enables them. So you think about Craigslist, there would be no Craigslist without email. There would be no eBay without the graphical browser, and no Uber without location services, your GPS, and of course your smartphones. And as technology moves further, what's the next level for marketplaces? Well, basically, they're called smarketplaces. So the theory is that machine learning and dense edge computing will enable marketplaces to understand more complex demands and thereby facilitate transactions that are not currently possible using present models. So the next evolution in marketplace business will be substantial, they say. Enabled by sensor technologies and AI, marketplaces will also be able to understand and satisfy complex, multivariate needs. So let's give you an example.
Please.
Okay, so just say you go on Airbnb right now and you want to rent an apartment in Kepong for a week, let's just say, okay? So
because some people want to stay there, you know? They
yes,
want that
they
experience.
Do.
They do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Don't knock Kepong.
I'm not knocking Kepong. No, no.
Okay. So what happens is you just say, okay, you want to rent an apartment in Kepong for a week. You tell them what your budget is and they show you your options, of course, right? But with a marketplace, the AI will allow marketplaces to process richer data and therefore understand complex multi-needs. So in the Airbnb scenario, it would combine your previous trips and infer the kind of options that you made. So it will think about your taste. It will think about available flights. Say you're flying in from UK to Kepong. Oh, to KL and then to hit to Kepong. And then it'll also balance the costs and, of course, local events in the area so that you are likely to pick that package and it will convert the sale.
So a marketplace is essentially a bunch of filters.
Mm.
Automatically programmed filters. So if I... That's right, I'd assume, right?
Yeah, so it basically collects data on you and it infers things like not only what you are... not just your input, but basically all of the history of your searches, the kind of person you are, the kind of events that you've attended. You know, if you would prefer to spend more on your accommodation than your flight, or if you prefer to fly easy and then, you know, like maybe like look for a budget hotel. So it puts together all your preferences and it gives you a package that would most probably convert you.
Assuming that you fed it the data in the first place.
Yes. Okay.
Right.
Based on your data. So that's a B2C example. Mm. So what about a B2B example? Say you're in the laser cutting industry and you want to buy new laser cutting machines. So this is where machine learning enters the conversation. With a rich history of orders and their resulting prices, you could train a neural net that would ingest whatever your needs are and spit back out an accurate costs without you actually having to explicitly define the parameters of the item that you'd like to purchase. So this way, smart marketplaces directly link complex demand to supply by understanding multiple needs. And you're bringing the whole supply side online. That's
gotcha.
What it does. So, I mean, all this sounds great because, you know, if I'm going to look for some makeup, it's just going to look at the kind of things that I've bought before on Zalora or Lazada or Hermo, and it's going to actually spit out the exactly what I need at the cost that I'm looking for, maybe at a discount, which, you know, if that's the way I shop. But here is a slight problem to kickstart the whole marketplace. So here's what they say. It's called the double cold start problem because just say you're going to start a marketplace to begin with. Say you're going to use, let's give Uber Eats, let's look at Uber Eats as an example, right? So before you can even start it, you're going to need to build all the restaurants that you're working with. You're going to need some data on the potential customers that would want to use your service, right? So to build that customer base is going to take a long time. You're going to need to build a demand and then, of course, the customer base. So if you need to build a marketplace, you're going to have to do that twice over because
right.
you need so much of data in order to enrich your platform to be able to deliver those smart options. So, yeah, it's going to take a while, but this could be the future of your marketplaces and online shopping.
No, so is it like there's one marketplace that connects you to all the services, or is it like Uber Eats becomes a marketplace?
Yes, yeah, so it's going to be like Uber Eats will become a marketplace, Lazada would become a marketplace. Mm. You know, if you go to Air Asia, that could be a marketplace as well.
Interesting stuff.
Mm.
Would you shop at a marketplace?
I don't know. I mean, that's what I was going to ask Ords. The idea of the amount of data that you are feeding this beast, you know, it seems a little bit worrying. But, I mean, we're kind of doing that already.
We're already doing it, Rich.
But the difference is those decisions that we make and those little filters that we've done are all over the place. They're not combined into one giant repository, you know, that this marketplace can pull from, I think.
So what's going to happen is your marketplace is going to give you that option on your phone. Will you enable data, blah, blah, blah? And if you click yes, then, of course, like every other marketplace that you go to would have that access to your data and would be able to give you those smart options.
So what's the difference between like a marketplace and let's say like Amazon now? Because if I go Amazon and then I buy a book, It'll give me suggestions of other people who have picked up similar books or what other people bought. And then in the future, it'll suggest to me similar books or, you know, whatever, products based on my browsing history in Amazon. So this marketplace does it more accurately?
I think it would. So basically, it's a combination of all those things. It is a combination of the kind of books that you like to read, what the people around you are reading, what comes highly recommended by the people who've read the same books as you. And most probably, it will come at a point like, because you always shop during Black Friday, right? So maybe closer to Black Friday, they'll be like, bam, here you go, Arvin. Here's your list of books you need to buy.
I mean, it wouldn't have to remind me.
Here's where all your wages are going this month. You know, forget about saving, your wages are going here this month.
Yeah. But you know, when you go to let's look at the marketplace thing. Like, even if you look at like a traditional marketplace, don't you want to find stuff that you wouldn't have found otherwise, or you just want to keep getting stuff that you are used to? Then it becomes like, you know, if you keep using Spotify for too long and you keep listening to the same genre of music, then it keeps giving you the same genre with the same beat. So you want a bit of, you know, difference and like variety.
But you never know. I mean, this kind of thing could also be used to kind of, you know, kick out those little gems that you might not have found yourself as well. I mean, we're assuming that it's going to be following the same methods that we use now, the same kind of algorithms that we use now, which is giving you this repetition. But maybe in a couple of years down the line, when the algorithms have been tweaked a little bit, it might do that. It might be like, oh, you've never heard of this band. Maybe you should.
So here's the thing with this marketplace. You're not just relying on one algorithm. You're relying on like hundreds of algorithms to give you those options. So that's how it's going to change the game.
All right. Okay, that's a bit of a game changer then, potentially. Eyes on this marketplace then in the future. Yes?
Yeah.
Do we have any more messages before we take a quick break?
Yes, we do.
Can we have some?
Yeah, sure. This is from Inderjit, and Inderjit says he always DIYs. It's not difficult at all. And he suggests to use the global community at iFixit. You'll be amazed at the costs you save.
Indeed, that is the company, in fact, that Motorola have teamed up with to help push out these tools.
We have a message from Julian Mokhtar, who says that my tempered glass screen protector got severely cracked. It was very hard to find a replacement. And when I did find a shop that had one, I was expected to pay 80 ringgit to 100 for one. So I just kept on using my phone until I got a new one.
Hello, Julian. Hope you're doing well, my friend. they're not cheap, are they, these tempered glass things?
Not. I mean, you can find the cheap ones.
But they're cheap ones.
Yeah.
Was it like Ord said earlier on?
So it depends if you're getting the 20 ringgit tempered glass or you're getting the 100 ringgit tempered glass. The difference is the 20 ringgit one, your phone will tahan like 2 drops. But if you get the 100 ringgit one, it will tahan 10 drops.
This sounds like you've spoken from experience.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, maybe once or twice. Right, time for a short break before I get slapped. Coming up, we have some music from The Cure with Close to Me, and then when we get back, moving on to story number 3, Legal Tinder lets you swipe and sue. Who's doing this one?
I'm doing this one.
Oh my word. Mm-hmm. Okay, don't go anywhere, ladies and gents. You are listening to Enterprise Biz Bytes here on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.